And we will start in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is designed to be a little bit more of a Bible study, so we'll see if it turns out that way, and we'll see how it turns out, just in general. All right, Jeremiah 23 and 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Verse 13, it says, "Shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast on you. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practice. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error." And then if you will, let's go to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. All right, so Jeremiah 23 is a pretty brutal chapter. Matthew 23 is another one where Jesus Christ is rebuking the Pharisees. But in this chapter, you have the Lord, and he is rebuking the prophets, the false prophets of Israel. Verse 1, it says this, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." Look at verse 9, you have Jeremiah kind of interjects in this, and he says this. Jeremiah says, yep, that's the verse. "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man with wine, whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places are of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They have prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem in a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall, for the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land." Now, in the Old Testament, you have prophets set up. You have Moses, of course, was a prophet. David was a prophet. Samuel was a prophet. And the prophet was there to be able to contact the Lord for the people. They were, I think it was Ezekiel, he was said to be a watchman. So a prophet is like a watchman where they essentially, they will, you know, the watchman is the one that stands up on the wall and, of course, calls out the whoever is down below, and he calls out, he sounds the alarm and things like that. And so that's what the prophets, of course, were supposed to be in the Old Testament. So in when these prophets became false prophets and they started to walk after the lust of their own heart and things like that, you can imagine the reason why the Lord had them set up. You can imagine the Lord's anger towards them. And the Lord is very, very hard on false prophets. If there is one thing that he does not handle very well, if you want to say it that way, it's false prophets. God does not have time for false prophets. There also, well, you guys saw in verse 1, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy the and scatter the sheep of my pasture." So they're also called pastors. In 2 Peter 2, we read it does call them false prophets. It also calls them false teachers. If you will, just turn over to Galatians for a second. They're called other things. So this is not by any means just an Old Testament thing. False prophets have been an issue, and they have always been an issue. They're an issue in the Old Testament. They are in the New Testament. They're everywhere. Galatians chapter 2, look what it says in verse 4. It says, "And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." So you have there, they're called false brethren. If you will, flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And so the Lord gives us some really, really strong warnings against false prophets. And of course, there are false prophets in abundance today, and they can be reached very, very easily. That's one of the reasons why they're so dangerous. But look at go to chapter 11, look at verse 13. It says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so you have these false prophets. They're all over the Bible. There are so many New Testament warnings on them. Tell you what, go back to Galatians, if you will. Just see a warning in the New Testament on those guys. Go to chapter 6. You know what? Actually, let's skip that one. Sorry. Go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll hit this verse later, but just another warning. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro," verse 14, "and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." So you have the false prophets there. They're lying in wait to deceive people. Let's see. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. They're all over. I didn't go through and count, but it looks like, man, a lot of the Pauline epistles, a lot of the churches that Paul wrote to, they had an attack of a false prophet at some point. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." So he says, rest with us. Why does he say that? Well, chapter 1, verse 2. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." So you had somebody that got in there, and they started writing letters and saying some stuff and scaring the people. Galatians chapter 1, also gives some strong warnings. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. Paul says this. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that hath called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so you can see Paul's disdain for false prophets. He says, let him be accursed. So you have false prophets everywhere. They're in the New Testament. They're in the Old Testament. But if you will, go to Jeremiah chapter 23 again, and just going to look at some things that these false prophets do. So just a couple of things that they do here. Verse 16, it says this, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, false prophets are, they abound. And one thing they do, and one thing you need to watch out with false prophets, because, again, false prophet, a prophet is not just an Old Testament word. They're here today. And one thing they'll do is they will speak a vision of their own heart. And that is a mark of a false prophet. Go to chapter 9. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. They speak a vision of their own heart. And everybody knows verses on the heart. Chapter 9, verse 3 says this. Now, it doesn't name the false prophets in this, but in chapter 8, it talks about them. But look at verse 13. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Look at verse 8. Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth wait. Let's look at verse 13. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I have set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. So the Lord does not go easy on a false prophet. If you will, flip forward to Ezekiel chapter 13. So they have a prophecy of their own heart. And in Ezekiel chapter 13, you know, it's kind of amazing when you think about it, because even Paul warns so much against false prophets. He warns so much against his letters being tampered with. Which is amazing, because it's gotten so much worse through the ages that it seems like that's what we have to deal with all the time. But in verse 1 it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. And so They have a prophecy from their own heart. God is very much against them. In verse 3, it says, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes of the desert. So the Lord does not have a very popular opinion, a good opinion, I should say, of false prophets. Jeremiah 17:9. Everybody knows the verse, right? And I always didn't want to go to it, but it's necessary, because it's the most obvious verse. So we'll turn there real quick. I was going to quote it, but there's something that we need to see in that. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, look what it says. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we know the verse, and it's obviously a great verse, and it opens the door for us to see what the heart is like, but it actually points out the obvious problem, one of the obvious problems that a false prophet has. And if you will go to chapter 23, we'll see what that is. Go to chapter 23 again, in verse 25. So the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So what's the obvious? Well, verse 25, it says this. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, and look what it says. It says, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. And so you have all of these false prophets today, and you have them, and they speak pseudo-truths. They speak half-truth, and we'll get into that more later, but the problem is with them being giving visions of their own heart, what naturally leads to that is what? Deceit. That is what naturally comes out of a false prophet's vision. It says at the end of verse 26, yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. So the Lord has purposely deceived those prophets. And I unfortunately don't have those verses because those are great to go through. But that is the problem with these prophets given a vision of their own heart is it's deceit. And I don't know if you remember this verse in Matthew, but it says, out of the heart, what? Comes what? Wickedness, murders, adulteries, all of these things, right? That's what comes out of the heart. So when you have a vision coming from that same nasty area, how do you know what you're getting is the right vision? So they don't have a guide. They don't have a book to guide it. Verse 25, it says, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. One of the things that they do is, it's tricky. It's tricky because they will prophesy in the name of the Lord, right? And they'll use his name. And so it kind of puts you back at ease because you're like, oh, well, I think that they're Christians, but they're not. They're really not. And if they are saved, I mean, there's no problem for the devil to inhabit a Christian, right? I mean, he can do that. He does that with a ton of Christians. I think I got ahead of myself here. But one of the reasons why God hates them and what they do is because they take God's name and they promote what they're saying with God's name. And God does not like that. Let's see. Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. I quoted it earlier, but Matthew 15, I didn't see this, but it says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts. And so you have these prophets and they're prophesying from their heart. And so it's not a surprise when you hear what comes from their mouth. Let's see. Let's go to chapter 29. Let's go to chapter 29. So you want to be careful about somebody that calls himself a prophet or a preacher or a brother in Christ, because there can be false pastors. There can be false prophets. There can be false brethren. Let's see here. Chapter 29. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. It says this, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. He says, don't let them deceive you. Neither hearken to your dreams, which ye caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And Jeremiah keeps saying that. He goes, they're not, God did not send them. In Jeremiah 23, he keeps saying, the Lord keeps saying, I didn't send them. And so he warns his people and he says, you guys, you need to be careful. Because when they're giving a prophecy from their own heart, what you're going to get is something that you like. Because our hearts are all alike, right? So a lot of I won't go any further. I'm gonna jump ahead. So let's see here. Deception is their game. Let's see. I won't have you guys turn there, but in Matthew 24, I do realize the position of this verse, but Matthew 24:11, it says, and many false prophets shall rise, and what? And shall deceive many. So deception, a lot of the time, is their game. And it is spiritual deception, and that is a whole different study in itself. But in Ephesians 4:14, we already read it, so I'll just quote the rest of the last part of the verse. It says, whereby they lie in wait to what? Deceive. That is their whole game, is deception. You'll hear my dad get up, and you know he'll warn you of all of the things that you can watch, all of the things that you can hear, as far as from a preacher on the internet and all that stuff. And this is why. There are multiple people that have left because they heard some stupid thing. And that's really what it is. It really is stupid. I'm not just trying to be mean to them, but it's dumb. And it's a vision of their own heart. And so you got to be careful of that. In Proverbs, it says they lurk privily for the innocent blood. And unfortunately, somebody gets saved and they get in church and they're excited, and that's great. And then they sit here and then they just learn a little bit, but they're still getting their junk food off of the internet. And I mean, I can think of three or four people off the top of my head where they didn't say it. They didn't say that they left because they heard something, but I know for a fact, where they got it from. You know, it's like, how do you get saved? Do you pray to get saved? You have a prayer that you have to pray on a track. What are you trusting, your prayer or God, right? And they have these things because that's what they've heard. And they don't have the scripture. They don't have a balance. You know, the Bible says that you're supposed to test the spirits and see what they be of. You're supposed to be able to discern those spirits. Well, if you just come, get in, and get a little bit, and then go, you're not going to have that discernment. And you need that discernment. But it says they lurk privily for the innocent blood. And unfortunately, that's a lot of the times who gets hit. The innocent, right? The people that don't know much. Now, sometimes that's their own fault, or sometimes it's just somebody that just got in church. They haven't been in church very long. So then they've been taken away by some strange doctrine. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. God will go to great lengths, and he will say some pretty harsh things to defend you. I mean, he's saying all this stuff against false prophets. Why? Because he's trying to defend you. He's trying to tell you, hey, watch out for this. Be careful. Look at 2:13. Look what it says at the end of the verse. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. That's pretty brutal. That's how false prophets are. So one of the problems with them is that they speak a vision of their own heart. Now, if you will go back to chapter 23 of Jeremiah, we'll look at another thing that they do. And I think we could, 7 or 8 of us could all preach different message or teach different Bible studies on false prophets and come out with a bunch of different stuff. But one of the things that they do, look at verse 30, it says this, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbors. Look at verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Now, something else that they do, verse 30, it says that they steal his words. And I don't know about you, but of all the weird, wacky things that I've heard, they all have to mention Jesus Christ, right? They're all tied into Jesus Christ. And, oh, they're a Christian, or they're this, or they're that, right? And they all have to do so. They all have to steal his words, right? But it says that they steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. And then it says in verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. At the end of the verse, it says, for ye have perverted the words of the living God. And one of the things that they'll do is they will pervert his words, and they will steal his words. They'll commandeer the Bible, and they'll take verses, and they'll, you know, you listen to a guy, and when you hear somebody talking about, you know, some weird thing where when you first hear, you're like, oh, that guy's an idiot. There's no way that can be true. And then you start listening to him, and he'll throw out a verse here and there. And so you're just like, oh, and it kind of sets you back a little bit. What's he doing? He's stealing the words. The verse doesn't mean that. You're ripping it out of context, right? And it's funny, one time in class, I was telling the kids, I was like, I can prove in the Bible there is no God, right? I was like, well, if you rip this part of the verse out and this part of the verse, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, you can tear those parts out and says there is no God, right? Well, but that's how simple it can be sometimes, because that's what they do. They will take that, and the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says they will wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. And so you got to beware of that. So but it says, for ye have perverted the words of the living God. And, you know, let's see. Well, they're thieves, right? They steal them. They steal the words. They're thieves. In John 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill, right? That's what a thief does. That's what a false prophet is. That is what half of the preachers out there that call themselves preachers, that's what they are. They're thieves. go to Acts chapter 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. You want to beware of false prophets. You want to beware of false prophets. Jesus Christ said they come and they'll be in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ravening wolves. Chapter 13, look at verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And I can't tell you how many people I've been witnessing to, and who comes up and interrupts the conversation and ruins it? Another so-called Christian? That happens all the time. When I was working in Florida, there was a guy that David Lethard had witnessed to, and there was another guy there that's called himself a Christian, and he was probably saved, but he had the biggest mouth, and he had the filthiest mouth, and so everybody knew what he was about, and they were just like, oh, whatever, he's an idiot. I mean, that's what they would say about him. And man, David said that Joe was this close to getting saved. He was so close. And the guy was under conviction, and Drew walks in. That was the end of that. That was the end of that. And so it says that he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, look what he says. Filled with Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You know what a prophet will, you know what a false prophet will do? He will pervert the Bible. He will pervert it. Go forward to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We read this earlier, but hit it again. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you, and what? And would pervert the gospel of Christ. So, somebody at some point came in, and I mean, according to verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed. So somebody got in there, and they successfully perverted the gospel of Christ. And they tricked some of the Galatians. The Galatians didn't know what to do with it. And Paul said, man, I'm ashamed of you guys. I cannot believe, after all the things that we went through, I can't believe that you were so soon removed from the grace that called you. Like, really? But he did. He derailed some of the Galatians. And so a false prophet will pervert the gospel. I already said it, but they'll give half-truths, right? And they'll use scripture just like the devil. And you won't necessarily know how to defend it. And so in your mind, you're like, what do I say? But you got to be careful of those. Be careful because they'll do that. They'll tell part of the story, right? They'll give part of the story. And you'll say, is there any truth to that? And a lot of the times, you shouldn't even mess with it. It says, by good words and fair speeches, they will what? Deceive the hearts. So again, it comes down to deception. Now, this is really interesting because if you want to see a really great contrast of what a biblical prophet should be, go to Acts chapter 20. Look what the Apostle Paul does. And he's very, very specific to mention this. Chapter 20, verse 26. Look what he says. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Well, Paul says this is why. Now look at this. He says this. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. Paul says, I gave you everything that I had. He gave his converts what? A balanced gospel, right? He fed his converts what? A balanced diet. He gave it all to them. And that's what you should do. When you witness to somebody or you give somebody counsel, you try to give as much counsel as you can, as much Bible as you can. Look at verse 28. And so here we go. Paul says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He goes, I've given you everything. I've given you everything I can. He says, so now, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. And so the devil, in 2 Corinthians 11, we saw that even Satan himself can transform himself into the angel of light. And then he says, so no marvel that his prophets can do the same, and you got to watch out for that. I already said some of it, but you need to sit and you need to get all of the counsel. Coming in and out, it doesn't do you really much good. I mean, you'll get some here and there, but you need to get the whole counsel, because someday a wolf is going to come after you and you will be the target. And so you need to have the whole counsel of God. You need all the counsel of God. You need the whole counsel to be able to discern a partial and perverted gospel. And so that's what a prophet will do. He'll do that. And so you go to court and they say, I so solemnly swear to what? Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? But anyway, so that's another sign of a false prophet, is they'll pervert the words. Look at another thing quick. Jeremiah chapter 28. And this one I won't hit too much. Kind of want to wrap it up here in a minute or so for you guys. Jeremiah chapter 28, another sign of a false prophet. And this one is very, very obvious. Verse 1 in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all of the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the house, of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from his place and carried them to Babylon. And look what Jeremiah says. Verse 6. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. He says, the Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon in this place. You know why it didn't face Jeremiah? Because he had the whole counsel of God. Because he knew what the Lord was saying. He knew what the Lord said. And so he just mocks him. He goes, yeah, I hope the Lord does that. He goes, that'll be great. Let's get out of here in 2 years. Awesome. He's thinking, yeah, like plus that by 68 years. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. That's awesome. And then look at verse 6. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall that prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took off the yoke from Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off his neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Look at verse 10 of chapter 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. And so Hananiah, you know what Hananiah has? He has a mark of a false prophet. And you know what that is? It is a positive message. They always have positive messages. And I think that is one of the things that give away a false prophet today is the positive messages. God is love. And I know Caleb talked about that last Wednesday, but that is, God's love is unconditional. And they'll give half-truths, where it's like, well, how do I argue with that? But that's what they do. They'll do that, and they'll slip you up there, but they have a very positive message. I mean, nobody wants to be in captivity for 70 years. And Hananiah says in his heart, yeah, I don't really like that. I have a better vision from my heart. And he takes that yoke off of him, and he destroys it, and he makes a great show of it, and he goes, in 2 years, we're going to be free. And Jeremiah says, yeah, right. I got the real message. But they have a very positive message. They cannot stand negativity. Verse 17 of chapter 23, look what it says. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And listen, if there is anything that marks a false prophet these days, it is a positive message. And listen, there is time for positivity. There really is, right? there is, right? I mean, when you think about the gospel for our sakes, right? I know the gospel is two-part negative, one-part positive. But when it comes down to us, it is a very positive thing for us. So it's not just that we Bible believers are just all negative and we're just negativity, and we're all against positivity. It's not that. But it's a perverted gospel if that's all you give. You have to have a balance with it. The famous verse, peace, peace, and there is no peace, right? They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying what? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's always a positive message. They'll say safety, and then sudden destruction will come upon them. So you got to be careful about that. So a preacher these days, you know what he has to do? When he gets up, he has got to be determined that, or wherever he stands up, that he has got to say what the Lord wants him to say. And the reason why that's so hard is because, I mean, who really wants to hear about this? Right? Other than Bryce. But seriously, you know, and also, who wants to hear a negative message? Point proven. So you got to get up, and what do you got to do? You got to fight the spirit. You got to fight that spirit. Man naturally wants to give good news. That's just what he wants to do, right? So, one of the things that I want to talk about is in 2 Chronicles 18. I'm not going to go there. We're running out of time. But what you got to be careful of, though, is this. And the Lord is not about to blind a prophet even more. The Lord will do that. And you guys know Ahab when Jehoshaphat joined affinity with him. And he says, hey, he goes, before we go to battle, he said, I want to hear what a prophet has to say. And Ahab, oh, I got tons of those. Come on, guys. And he has a big party, right? And he brings in 400 prophets and they all say, oh, go up and conquer. And Jehoshaphat's like, there's just something off about this. He's like, Jeremiah says, I don't know, their force is not right. There's just something off with them. And so he goes, do you have a prophet of the Lord, though? And Micaiah comes in and he goes, oh, yeah, go and conquer. And Jehoshaphat says, no, wait a second. I know that's not what you're going to say. What are you trying to say? He goes, I see all Israel scattered. And he goes in and he tells the truth. But you know what happens then? You get the curtains pulled back on the spiritual world, like turning into Job. And you know what the Lord says? He goes, who will I send to go and talk to Ahab? And all of a sudden, he hears a voice and a spirit comes out. He goes, I'll go. And the Lord says, oh, well, what are you going to do? He goes, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And the Lord says, good idea. Go do it. The Lord did that. The Lord did that. But anyways, I could run more verses on that, but we won't just for the sake of time. So anyways, they have a positive message. You got to be careful of that. Not that positivity is wrong, but again, you got to have that balance in there. Also, one of the things that they do, let's go to Jeremiah 28, and this will be lastly. Jeremiah 28, Jeremiah 28, verse 16, look what the Lord says to Hananiah, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. You want to know a sign of a false prophet? Rebellion. And that's what they teach. They'll teach rebellion. And you won't think it's outright rebellion, but I mean, from this positive message that Hananiah had, I mean, how could that be rebellion? It went against the book. And when you go against the book, you are rebelling. Let's see. I'm just wanting to cut this down. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 30. So Jeremiah also names two prophets. Verse 31, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because of Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell upon among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord. Why? Because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. They teach rebellion. And so, with that being said, I think I've just got two more references. With that being said, here you go. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. So when you have a prophet prophesying, false prophet, and you have rebellion. Isaiah chapter 30, and let's look in verse 9. Verse 8, now go write it before them in a table, and in note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is what? A rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. There's that deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So, go to chapter 65. verse 2. 65 verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that is not good after their own thoughts. And that's what a false prophet will do. He will have you, before you know it, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be doing exactly what he's doing. You're going to be following the vision of your own heart. And listen, when you have a rebellious people being fed rebellion by a rebellious prophet, what else are you going to expect? Right? And therefore, you have a lot of the Old Testament summarized. They're being led by false prophets. You hear negative things come from this place, and you hear true things come from this pulpit. And listen, why? Because he's trying to stand. You have somebody trying to stand against the wiles of the devil. Have somebody standing against the movement of the age. And so if you want to fight the world, you know what you do? You find out what the spirit of the age is. And you find that, and then you go against it. And you'll be on the Lord's side. All right, let's pray.